Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show. Will they ever get anything done if I don't follow up? I am so sick of hovering, and I'm sure it feels like micromanaging to them.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Hey, welcome to your podcast, Helping Human-Centered Leaders Master Communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. And in this episode, you're going to get some answers to a leadership challenge that I hear all the time. How do I get my people to act with more urgency, and especially without feeling like I'm nagging or babysitting? And specifically, you're going to learn how to eliminate one of the most common mistakes that you might be making when it comes to building urgency and motivating your people. And then you'll get 5 communication skills that will motivate your employees to have more urgency. And we'll also wrap up with 4 roadblocks that might be blocking your team's urgency and how you can remove them. So here we go. And as we get started, I also want to remind you, if you ever are out and about and I'm at a conference or there's a way for us to connect person to person and out in the real world, love to hear from you. I just shout out to listener Farinaz in Los Angeles, who ran into in real life. And she said, "Hey, I was driving to Las Vegas with my boyfriend and we were listening to your show." So and I got to tell you, if you can top that story, I want to hear it. So where's your most unique listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul? Can you beat Farinaz and her boyfriend heading to Las Vegas? All right, so let's get into this, helping your team have more urgency. So to begin with, if you're telling your team to act with urgency or to be more committed or things like that, it's not going to help them move any faster. Why not? Because words like urgency or commitment mean different things to different people. If you know my partner, Karen, her sense of urgency is typically on a scale of 1 to 10. She's an 11. And mine is pretty urgent by most people's standards, but I would say I'm more of an 8. And so we can both claim we're acting with urgency, but Karen's almost always going to be faster. And if you want proof that people have different definitions of urgent, go ask 5 people to define the word soon. You'll get 5 different answers. Your people see their work differently than you do. Some value speed, others value quality, and others are going to value focus on impact or the process. And so instead of focusing on vague words like urgent, you can motivate employees to move faster and lower your stress with a few consistent communication habits and then removing those barriers to urgency and speed. So let's get into these 5 essential communication skills that will motivate your folks to have more urgency. When you want to build a culture where people move at a crisp pace, your first job is you've got to eliminate misunderstanding. And this is so critical, and it's more common than you might expect. You can help everyone get on the same page and quickly deal with conflicting priorities by using these communication tools. And the number one, if you listen to the show for any length of time, you have heard us talk about schedule the finish. If you're a high urgency leader and you're frustrated with your team, This one conversation is going to solve many of your problems. You stop leaving follow through to good intentions, to willpower, or different interpretations of what soon means. Instead, schedule the finish. What is scheduling the finish? Scheduling the finish means you have a conversation about feasibility and competing priorities. And then the conversation ends with a specific appointment for follow-through at a specific time on a specific day listed on the calendar of everyone involved. And when you schedule the finish, there are a couple types of tasks that are going to need your focus. You've got routine tasks, and then you've got more kind of one-off delegated assignments. So let's talk about the routine tasks first. When you're scheduling the finish for routine tasks, these can be frustrating. You might think, this is part of your job. Why can't you just get it done? And if you ever feel yourself saying that, try grouping these routine tasks into bucket and then setting shared deadlines. So here's the key question. With no extra conversation between you and your team, if I were to go and ask them, what's your manager expect in terms of when these tasks should be completed? When should they be done? Would your team give me the same answer you would? And if you're not sure what they'd say, after you get done with this episode, go ask them. What their answers might surprise you. And if you don't get the same answers you're thinking would be the answers, time to do a clear scheduling to finish. Now, if everyone agrees about what success looks like, great. But if their answers differ from yours or they seem unsure, it's time to set clear expectations for each bucket of work. And you can apply the same approach to ongoing tasks too. The goal might be something like finish this weekly. If, for example, if an employee handles customer contact and needs to document conversations and actions, you could aim for 100% completion by the end of the day every Wednesday and Friday. But it's about getting specific when is done on those routine types of tasks. Then you've got your delegated assignments or the commitments you make to one another. The conversation that you have in the hallway or at the end of a Teams chat, and there are some good intentions, but when is done? Your team members constantly are deciding where to put their time, and a clear finish line with mutual accountability is going to help everyone make better decisions. So for example, if you have a conversation with one of your team members about following up on a customer complaint, and she agrees the customer issue needs investigation, before you leave the conversation, you say, all right, let's schedule the finish. Can you and your team investigate what happened, then make suggestions on how we can address it by Friday at 3? And your team member mentions they've got another project that's due that same afternoon. Okay, upon reflection, then you think about it, you decide the customer issue is more important, and you give her team until Tuesday to complete that first project so they have time to deal with the customer's issue. Then you wrap up the conversation by making an appointment on your calendars for 3 p.m. Friday, where she'll brief you on the team's findings. So that's scheduling the finish. Discuss competing priorities. Have a conversation about feasibility. Can we really do this in this time frame? And then put it on the calendar. That follow-through meeting is going on the calendar, so both of you are going to show up to it. All right, number two, our second communication skill here, we're going to check for understanding. And this is, if you want to create a culture of timeliness, you have to reduce misunderstandings, and that's where the check for understanding comes in. Checking for understanding means you ensure everyone in a conversation has the same comprehension of what you agreed. And to be clear, checking for understanding is not asking, hey, do you understand? Instead, you'd say something like, hey, before we wrap up, let's check for understanding. What are we doing next? What's our goal here? When are we meeting to follow up? And ensure that the answers you are hearing are the same answers that you're thinking. And if there's a mismatch, you keep talking till you get everybody on the same page. So check for understanding. What do you understand here? Make sure you're aligned. And number three, 5x5 communication. Any message that's critical to your team's success requires consistent communication. You need people to internalize those messages. So how do you do that? 5x5 communication. That's communicating critical content at least 5 times through at least 5 different channels. That repetition and variety will ensure that everyone internalizes the message. It's just how our brains work. You build those neural pathways. So 5x5 communication helps you reinforce not only when things should be done, but even more importantly, why that time frame is critical. And so, quick example, 5x5 communication, you've got a key message, a key initiative, something that needs to get done in a certain time frame, projects due, customer response, whatever it is. All right, you're going to talk about it in your team meeting. That's one. You're going to send a follow-up email. That's two. You do a Teams thread or a Slack or a chat type reminder. That's number three. Then maybe you do a little quick voice recording and send out a audio memo to everybody. And then maybe number five is you do a quick celebration of who's hit those leading indicators the most quickly. So you got some early adopter celebration going on. Or maybe number five is, if it's a bigger thing, maybe it's t-shirts and you're wearing those, or maybe you change the background on your Teams or your Zoom meeting, if you're virtual, to remind everybody about what's going on there. So 5x5 communication. And then number four is we want to address conflicting values and priorities. And this is one of the ways that you can unintentionally frustrate your employees, is by creating conflict and expecting them to resolve it. And leaders do this all the time because every value or priority conflicts with another value or priority at some point. It's unavoidable. So when you're asking people to act with urgency, you're going to be creating a conflict with other values. An easy example is the tension between urgency and quality. You can always do something faster if you're willing to sacrifice quality. So how should your team resolve that tension? The worst thing you can do is just leave it up to them, to their own devices, and then get upset when they don't make the decision that you would or that you prefer. So instead, address those conflicts head on. Own them. Talk about them. Tell stories, not just yours, but other senior leaders involved. Tell strategic stories about how you've dealt with those conflicts in the past, and then how you hope the team will resolve them in the future. And then our fifth communication skill you want to use to build a culture of urgency is you got to close the loop with celebration and accountability. So early in my career, I had a CEO ask me to take on a special project, and he had a clear finish line, and I worked evenings through the weekend on top of all my regular work to get it done. And I quite proudly brought the finished project to him, and he looked confused. And I reminded him what he'd asked me to do. He laughed. He said, "Oh, we're not doing that anymore. We're going a different direction." Oh, you can probably imagine I did not treat his future requests with the same urgency. That was a pretty bad example of not closing the loop. Every time you ask something of your team, you're creating an open loop. You have an intention, and then you fulfill that intention, or you don't. Either way, you need to close the loop. So if the team followed through and did it, celebrate. Acknowledge their work. And if they didn't do it, you have an accountability conversation. See what the team can learn. Can they get it done now? Or is there something to learn to help for the future? Closing that loop builds momentum. It tells your team that you truly value their follow through. And that's something that's up to you. That's part of scheduling the finish. But I think that celebration or acknowledgement of success, or even if we didn't succeed, we still can close the loop, tie a bow on it. It builds momentum. It lets people know that you're actually paying attention. You value the work. At the very least, do not do what my CEO did. Ask for the project, talk about the little sense of urgency, and then completely forget about it, change directions, and not ever tell anybody. That's the worst thing you can do. All right. So there's your five communication skills. And I promised you four roadblocks we're going to remove here. So this is a way to motivate your employees, build urgency by removing some of the roadblocks and obstacles that get in the way. So the first roadblock is a missing why. Your team needs to understand the reasons for the work. What's the why? A missing why creates a roadblock to urgency because other tasks that have better understood whys will take priority. Hey, I know why I'm doing this. I know why it matters. How this, if I don't know, it's going to take a lower priority. So use your 5x5 communication strategy to answer the questions your team's asking. What business purpose does this urgency serve? How does it improve the customer experience? How does it improve our employee experience? Connecting timelines to meaningful reasons why will also help you avoid the next roadblock, which is roadblock number two, false urgency, or its cousin, everything's urgent. You lose credibility when everything is urgent. And pretty soon your people tune out whatever you're asking. Oh, everything's always a last minute emergency with him. Don't worry about it. As soon as people can't take you seriously, you've become a barrier to timeliness and real urgency. So be aware of false urgency and be careful about the finish lines that you're looking for. And then roadblock number three, this one's a little bit different. This is risk aversion. And here's an example. One time spoke with a vice president who told us, hey, listen, I'd rather be late and get it right than early and wrong. I'll get yelled at for being late, but our president loses his mind, and he didn't say mind. Our president loses it if I make a mistake. This president was also frustrated that his team didn't move quickly enough. This president was his own roadblock. So how do you respond to mistakes? Your people pay attention to your responses. And you might say you don't want them to spend tons of time building giant decks filled with microscopic columns of data, but if you get angry when they don't have a specific number at their fingertips, they're going to ignore what you say and pay attention to what you do. So removing this roadblock means clarifying risk tolerance and celebrating healthy risk, especially when it doesn't work out. So what's the range of accuracy you expect in people's reports or assignments? You want to clarify that acceptable risk up front, and then treat mistakes as learning opportunities. And if it's a well-intentioned mistake and there's some inaccuracy or something, a learning opportunity, be super careful about how you respond to that, or people will take the extra time, not as much urgency, but they'll make sure that they're accurate so that you don't get upset. And then our fourth roadblock. And this is particularly if you have you're a more senior, middle-level senior leader position, and you've got managers who don't understand or aren't accountable for their communication. And this happens quite a bit. So if you feel like your team has a good sense of urgency, but you're struggling to motivate employees throughout the whole organization to move quickly, this roadblock could be a part of your problem. So you equip your managers with the five communication skills that I mentioned earlier. Make sure all of your managers know how to schedule the finish, to check for understanding. Do that 5x5 communication, that they're addressing conflicting values and priorities, that they're closing the loop consistently with celebration and accountability. The more they're able to do those five things, and the more you hold them accountable for using those tools, the more they'll consistently schedule a finish, check for understanding, communicate those key messages, help their teams internalize, address values and priority conflicts. And with that accountability and celebration, it's going to build that culture of urgency. And so as we're talking about building a culture of urgency, the final place I want to go with this is let's be upfront talking about urgency at human scale. We cannot be urgent all the time. People can't work at speed or with high stress forever. And everybody's a little bit different. Sure, there's a range, but we're all human beings and none of us can go full speed all the time. Just doesn't work that way. So part of the reason you have that conversation when you schedule the finish is to ensure that workloads are manageable. But even then, over time, a culture of urgency can burn out your best employees and undermine long-term success. As people internalize that and just always feel like they have to be on. And sometimes you don't expect it, but then they internalize it and now that's happening. So here's a couple of suggestions to help you avoid those kinds of pitfalls and practice urgency at a human scale. And so the first one I call know your race. And this is when you run a 100-meter sprint, you run as fast as you can. That's like under 10 seconds if you're a really fast, like Olympic-level sprinter. You're going to go super fast. But if you're running a 100-kilometer ultra marathon, you never run that fast. You might even stop running to eat a snack or drink something. So what race are you running? There are times that you're going to need to sprint. And there are times to run at a more sustainable pace, to take breaks, to rest. And you need to help your employees understand in their sense of urgency, with a sense of urgency that's appropriate to the race that they're running. Is this a sprint or is this a long-term slow and steady wins the race? And then second urgency at human scale issue here, and this is an important one, is you don't want to use urgency to address broken processes or systems. And I see this a lot. If you have constant fire drills or it's all hands on deck scrambles to deal with problems, you're going to burn out your team. Don't use urgency to address those kinds of problems repeatedly. Solve the problem. The first time it happens, sure, you got to respond. But now you know it's an issue. What process or system do you need to fix to keep it from happening again? So focus on long-term solutions that save that urgency for when you really need it. Then your team will have the energy to respond and they'll trust you when you ask for it. And our final suggestion here on how to do urgency at human scale is engage your team. Ask them for their ideas. This is helping your team own the challenges and solutions. Do you need to accelerate a project? Do you need to create a consistent scheduled finish for routine tasks? Find a faster way to get your customer what they need. Start by defining that opportunity and why it matters. Then ask your team for their solutions. Here's why this is important. How do you think we can do it? And you can give them the idea model, what we call the idea model, to help them contribute quality suggestions. It's four letters. I, why is this idea interesting and strategically relevant? So we're looking for ideas that solve this problem. D, how's it doable? Is this something we can actually take action on? Or is the ownership of this really somewhere else? We're looking for things that we can do, ideas that we can put our hand to tomorrow. E, who do they need to engage to make the idea work? Are there anybody else in the organization, other stakeholders, somebody in finance, somebody in HR, somebody in tech, IT, wherever it might be? What questions would they have, resistances? What can we answer for them to help get them on board? And then A, what are the specific one or two next actions to implement the idea? If you can give your team that way of thinking, I, why is the idea interesting? D, how is it doable? E, who do they need to engage? And A, what are the specific next actions to implement the idea? You're going to get more meaningful ideas. Your team will own the improvements, and they're often going to come up with better solutions than you could. So there we go. Ways to cultivate more urgency, sense of urgency in your team, build that culture. And I would encourage you, be your own consultant here. Go ask your team for their understanding of timetables and why critical tasks are done when they are, and see where the gaps are. Use the communication skills that you got in this episode, remove those roadblocks, and you're on your way to building that culture of urgency. And if you enjoyed this episode, found these tools practical and helpful, I would make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of these kinds of communication skills. Are going to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. And I want to make sure, if you haven't got it already, there is a guide you can print out and use to walk your team through all of these kinds of conversational skills together. Some of these that we talked about today are in there: scheduling the finish, checking for understanding. They're going to help reduce your team's stress, improve morale, productivity. And you can find all that at letsgrowleaders.com/podcast. You can fill that out. It's free. You're a listener. It's free. Just download it and you'll find all of the resources there. Choose the ones you can use and have those conversations with your team. All right. I'd like to thank our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford at Sheep in Space Digital Business Services, and Laura at Brooke Marketing for their work on this episode. Until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.